Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise.
Just started again. Probably was fine, but 096, episode 096, getting ever so close to 100. Just 4 episodes to go. Are you ready to pop? I've been rereading Raymond Chandler stories and a few essays, and it turns out, surprise, that Philip Marlowe talks a lot like Raymond Chandler writes. As Marlowe describes his world with a decidedly poetic flair, whether chowing a wilted chicken salad sandwich or getting punched in the gut, I think we're getting Chandler's own worldview. Reading about Chandler's life, I couldn't help but notice some parallels to Phil Dick. Women, substances, depression, sublime stories, and redefining their own genres. I wonder if Phil Dick ever had correspondence with Chandler. They had a bit of overlap. Dick was first published in 1955. Chandler died 4 years later. They both got their start in pulp genres. Chandler, the hard-boiled detective crime genre, and Dick, science fiction. Their characters explore dark worlds, truthful, authentic worlds of feelings. I didn't do a comprehensive search of correlations between Chandler and Dick, but I have my imagination, which is way better. Phil was born in 1928. Raymond Chandler's The Big Sleep was published in 1939 and then released as a feature film in 1946 with Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Phil must have been exposed to Raymond Chandler. Perhaps he was a fan. Philip K. Dick's The Man Who Japed is a sort of detective yarn. A creative functionary of a shiny police state wakes up one morning with foggy memories of running amok. It turns out he murdered a statue. He ends up investigating himself, his feelings, and discovers he has become an agent of change. Japed was written in 1955 and published in 1956. Chandler's essay on writing detective stories, The Simple Art of Murder, is a sort of manifesto for the detective genre. The main thrust seems to be authenticity. Technical details, sure, but way more critically, emotional honesty, which is really about the author's own life. A lot of Philip K. Dick novels feel like detective stories. In this Chandler sense, characters staring at the mystery of existence, unraveling what the fuck is going on, as we all are. In contrast to Philip K. Dick's Tyree Groovers, Artie Forgs Surgeons, and Pot Healers, Chandler's character Marlowe is a professional investigator with a keen eye for detail, insight into human nature, handy with a gun. but he isn't detached, nor is he there for the money. He's an exemplar of personal honor, a monk from an esoteric order of which he seems to be the only member. In other words, Philip Marlowe is a weirdo, an oddball. In the lingo of Chandler's times, a private detective is also a Seamus or private dick. Private Dick, Phil Dick, and Philip Marlowe and Philip Dick. Weird. Daughter of Godcast Crowd Creation also has our very own Seamus. So how about that? Double weird. Howard Hawks' cinematic interpretation of The Big Sleep and other film noir movies presaged Ridley Scott's Blade Runner, the movie that transformed Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep into Phil's most famous detective story. Phil had cops and detectives as protagonists in plenty of other stories like Flow My Tears, The Policeman Said, and The World Jones Made. Cops or no, Phil wrote lots of detective stories, maybe mostly detective stories. I find corroborative evidence of this in Phil's reaction to Blade Runner, as reported by Mayor Wilson, Phil's friend, and David Dyer, who handled special effects on Blade Runner. Meyer Wilson reports that Phil was skeptical of the Blade Runner project and was upset that major elements of the original story were dropped. In October of 1981, Phil and Mayer met Ridley and sat for a screening of Blade Runner's opening scenes. Afterwards, Dick said to Ridley something along the lines of, "It's like you can see into my mind." I think because Blade Runner is film noir, and film noir flows from authors like Chandler. Phil Dick must have been influenced by Chandler, either directly by reading Chandler or from the cinema that Dick grew up with. Dick was writing science fiction noir almost from the get-go. And that's why Blade Runner looked familiar to him, because the future had already happened. And that's an idea, a universe where Dick and Chandler characters come to save the Earth. Working title, Future Again. Go ahead and steal that idea, you great artists out there. I got a million of them. Meanwhile, what's all this got to do with Daughter of God? Nothing. We're just low on feedback today, so I thought I'd ramble. That's a lie. No, it's not. Okay, we are low on feedback, but certainly Dog might also be film noir. Dark comedy. A detective story. And the Chandler-Dick fusion of investigating existence, investigating ourselves sense. Feedback for 095. Can I come in? So Uncle Joe is bathed in red as he asks Christina to invite him in, which she declines to do, keeping a quirky silence. Feels like they're playing a private game. Eventually, Joe breaks the stalemate by placing his hat on her head.
Yes.
Why does he pass the hat? What's the significance of Joe's hat for you? That was the feedback question. Questions. And only Anonymous had anything to say. Snip. It seemed that putting the hat on Christina's head was reassuring to her that Uncle was in there somewhere, thus allowing her to let him come in. I asked for clarification. Snip. Are you saying that the hat establishes slash confirms slash validates Joe's physical presence? Something like an ID, a driver's license, a passport? Anonymous clarified. The hat, a familiar and personal gesture of warmth and good humor. Snip. I re-clarified. Very good, so more of an intuitive thing, heart recognition. And there was consensus from Anonymous. Sure. Smiley face. For Anonymous, the hat is about positive memories of past connection. Lovely. No magic, no skinneristic reinforcement, no transfer of chakra energy through a talismanic technology, no lifelong grooming of Christina for an occluded agenda, no passing on of mantles, legacies, or sacred teachings. Just a nice fedora hat. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along. Episode 096, I think so. Jerry and Christina have achieved synchromash somehow. There is now rapport and even chemistry.
Let's have some tea.
Tea is in the future and maybe more. Jerry's question and Christina's response implies that there might be some urgency. Why do you imagine that could be so? Daughter of God Cast Season 2 Crowd Creation Episode 096, I think so. Private Dick, Philip Marlowe, Philip Dick. Maybe Chandler met Dick in secret and handed him the keys to the TARDIS. Time Lords overlapping. The detective paradigm expanded. All characters on Earth probing the mystery of their own lives. The inevitable corpse. And the plotting of self-murder, slowly through the ingestion of corn syrup or chronic stress worrying about your kids, dark investigations into human nature, and comedy is implicit in human nature, humor nature. Laughter is the gods applauding the pageant of duality, a trap of our own making, caught fast until we tap out or squirm free, define our own ingenuity, foil our own meticulous plans. We battle ourselves for fun. The clues are within us, ubiquitous, smeared thinly across the electric sky. Everyone, what a riot!